Self-Evident is a platform that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident, but doing so in love. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Self-Evident. Today, I just want to focus on one thing, and that is an article that the LA Times posted recently entitled, "It's Almost Shameful to Want to Have Children." We are going to get into this article on today's episode. But before I get into it, I want to tell you about an upcoming event called The Threat of Open Borders. If you are watching the news, if you are taking a look in your community, it's very evident that the threat of open borders is very real. We have millions of undocumented people flooding into this country. Illinois Family Institute recently published an article entitled, "We're from the Government and We're Here to Help." And in that article, it was revealed that there are hundreds of thousands of undocumented children that are missing. No one knows who they are. No one knows where they are. So the threat of open borders is very real for a multitude of reasons. And that's why Illinois Family Institute is promoting this event on October 22nd from 5:30 to 9 p.m. At this event, we are going to be featuring border experts Rodney Scott, Sarah Carter, and Victor Avila, where they will discuss the threat of open borders in our communities. This is a very important event that you are not going to want to miss. Go to illinoisfamily.org/events to find out more and sign up. That's illinoisfamily.org/events. All right. The LA Times published an article entitled, "It's Almost Shameful to Want to Have Children." The author is Jade S. Sasser. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. She is an associate professor in the Department of Gender and Sexuality Studies at UC Riverside. That should tell you a lot about what her stances are, what her political leanings are. Her research explores the relationships between reproductive justice, women's health, and climate change, and she is the host of the podcast Climate Anxiety and the Kid Question. So the article is actually an excerpt from her newest book called Climate Anxiety and the Kid Question, Deciding Whether to Have Children in an Uncertain Future. And that book was published earlier this year. So in a lot of her conversations, and I think from her bio and from her background, you can guess where a lot of these conversations went, that there are a lot of people that are not only scared to have children, but don't believe it is the moral thing to do, because of different social threats that they perceive. One of those is climate change, and I'm sure that comes as no surprise to you given the title of her book. In one of her conversations, she was talking to a man named Bobby. I'm not sure if that's his real name or just a title that she gave him to protect his ambiguity, but here are Bobby's thoughts on why he does not want to have children. Okay. Although he always wanted to have children, his thoughts about fostering arose from taking environmental studies classes. Quote, "Going into college was the first time I was exposed to this information firsthand, and I realized for the first time it's not all rainbows and sunshine. I had never learned before about things like food waste and carbon emissions. And that's when the gears started turning in my head about the future and what I wanted to do." Now, as an aside, I'm sure some of you probably had the same initial thoughts that I did, that I think it's very funny that as soon as these people go off to a secular university, they come away with a lot of these progressive ideas that climate change is the worst thing to ever happen in the history of the world. And if you want to bring children into a world where we struggle with climate change and carbon emissions and all these really, really bad things, how dare you? That's so selfish of you. How could you bring a child into this environment? That is the take that Bobby has seemed to adopt, that actually he would rather adopt and foster a child than have one of his own. Now, I'm not saying anything against adoption. I think adoption is beautiful. I think it redeems a very broken situation where a poor child did not have the nuclear family to grow up in. So I'm not saying anything against fostering or adoption. However, what I am saying is that you need to have a very biblical view of children. Not only that, it's important to have a historical view of children. And I don't want this to turn into a climate change episode, even though I would love to have a climate change episode, and I might have that for the future for you guys. But what I do want to focus on is that even if it's true, even if it's true that carbon emissions and climate change, these are the worst issues facing humanity since the dawn of time, even if that's true, that does not negate you, Christian, from your God-given mandate, your God-given responsibility in the book of Genesis to be fruitful and multiply. In the time of Nero, when Christianity faced one of the heaviest, heaviest persecution times in the history of the world, Christians were being tortured in unimaginable, unspeakable ways. Christians were fleeing and fighting for their lives when Christians were being thrown to lions for the amusement of other people. Do you think that those Christians probably had maybe a good case to say, you know what, let's not have kids. Let's not bring kids into this environment where I don't even know if I'm going to be alive tomorrow. Maybe we shouldn't have children because I don't want them to face the persecution that we're facing. But what do we see in those time periods? That no, Christians continue to multiply. Christians continue to have children. And you know what? Christianity thrived. I recently had the opportunity to interview Ali Beth Stuckey, and you can look back in our YouTube history for that interview. It was very recently published. In that interview, she actually mentioned this. Christianity has always thrived on the margins. Christianity has always thrived in persecution. Christ promises that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So no matter what we face in this lifetime, our call as Christians, our duty as Christians is the same, obedience. And when it comes to, again, I don't want to turn this into a climate change episode, though I most certainly could, even if it's true that carbon emissions and the environmental issues that are happening in the world are the biggest catastrophe to face mankind since the dawn of time, even if that's true, our call as Christians is the same. Obedience. And that means stepping out sometimes in obedience and having children in turbulent times when you don't know what tomorrow brings. But here's the thing, have we ever known what tomorrow will bring? Do we ever actually know what the future holds? No. God holds the future. He is sovereign over all. He's sovereign over us. He's sovereign over our families. He's sovereign over our finances. He is sovereign over our environment. Even though environmental activists will say that's not true, he is sovereign over all of these aspects of life. And so if he has called us to walk out in obedience and have children, be fruitful and multiply, it is our duty to obey that, knowing that he will protect us in the end, ultimately, through salvation, or he'll give us actual material protection in this life. But either way, our call is the same. It's to obedience. One more thing before I move on to our next event. I want to point out the sad reality of how children are viewed in this society. Unfortunately, the theme is the same, that children are viewed as burdens. Children are viewed as unnecessary, as shaking up what I want to do with my life and my career. So they say it's selfish to want to have children. My take is no, it's actually very selfish to not want to have children, to only want to think of yourself. And I just want to continually encourage you, Christian, to go to God's word about what he says about children and family. And when we look at God's word, we see that family and children are a high, high calling. And that is actually the next event that I want to tell you about. So we have the Worldview Conference coming up. I shouldn't say coming up. It's March of 2025, so you have a lot of time to mark it on your calendar and to schedule your life around this event because you do not want to miss this. We are going to be covering the High Calling of Marriage and Family, March 8, 2025. It's a Saturday, so you can totally make it. Cost is $15, super, super cheap. Marriage and family, as you can see in the political landscape, is under attack in our nation and in our states, which is why this IFI conference is focusing on the high calling of marriage and family. And we are featuring special guest speakers, Dr. Brad Wilcox and Scott Phelps. And we are very excited to welcome these men to talk to us about what does it mean to be in a God-honoring marriage? And more than that, what does it mean to be parents in this day and age? What does that look like? So this is a very important and encouraging event that you are not going to want to miss. Go to illinoisfamily.org/events to find out more. That's illinoisfamily.org/events. If you actually go look at this article, she has a lot of people that she talks about. But I just wanted to focus on Bobby because of his environmentalism stance. I want to focus on Victoria, and she has a different view of having children. So this is what she says, quote, "I got a degree in sustainability, and I've always questioned bringing people into an environment where so much is going on politically, socially, health-wise, and all that. I always thought I wanted to give birth, but the more I look at foster care, I realize that I don't need to physically have children to experience being a mom." That's actually true. "It's a little selfish on my end to think I'm going to have all these kids when there are already kids in the world who would probably make me a better parent." Okay, I just want to talk about what she says there. Then it's true that you do not have to biologically have children to experience the joys of motherhood. Like I said in the first half, foster care, adoption is absolutely beautiful. And anyone who goes into that ministry form is amazing and should be applauded for the heart that they have for these precious children that were not given a good chance in life, that they did not grow up in a family that loved them and wanted to keep them, or they grew up in a tragic family where their parents died and their family didn't have the means to take care of them, or they passed away. So fostering and adoption is absolutely beautiful. I'm not saying anything against that, so please don't misconstrue my words. My issue with fostering and adoption, when it's given in this context, is the idea that to have your own children would be considered selfish. And I think I already addressed this in the last half of what I think about children being viewed as burdens and having them as being selfish. I can't think actually of a more selfless act than to bring children into the world, to raise them. That takes a lot of work, a lot of energy, a lot of dedication. That is a lifetime commitment to discipling your children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord that scripture calls us to as parents. So I actually can't think of a more selfless thing to do than to bring children into the world. So that's kind of my question off the bat. But then the author goes on to recount that Victoria's concerns about biological children are multifaceted. She worries about the future of healthcare access, wealth inequality, and whether her children would receive a low-quality education or be racially tracked in public schools. Ultimately, it comes back to how racial inequality intersects with other social challenges to heighten her own sense of vulnerability and that of her potential future children. Okay, and this is what she says. Actually, Victoria quotes, "If I have children, they will be Black children. It isn't self-hatred. I love being Black, but the things I've gone through, I wouldn't wish on other children." Okay, so Victoria's stance on not having children is, her view is, it would be selfish for her to bring children into the world because they would be Black, and she's Black. And according to her, she's been exposed to racial inequality, and she doesn't want to impose that on her children. I don't want to turn this, like the first half, I don't want to turn it into a climate change episode. I don't want to turn the second half into a racial inequality episode, because there are a lot of things that I could say on this. What I want to focus on is the perceived suffering that her children would go through, like in the first half. Our call as Christians is to obedience. We have no idea what the future holds. We have no idea even what tomorrow brings. I don't even know what the next hour holds for me and my family. But I do know that I serve a God who is sovereign over all. His purposes stand. His plans will never be thwarted. There is no one that can stay his hand on whatever he decides to do. And that, as a Christian, gives me such peace, such joy, knowing that I can trust my God to supply every need. I can trust my God to give me strength for today. I can trust my God to give me new mercies every morning. That is the hope that we cling to as Christians. And we can really see, I think, the dichotomy between secular humanists and Christians when we view children. That sure, maybe, let's say the racial inequality quandary that she's in, let's say it's true. Let's say her children will face suffering at the hands of the government if she were to bring them into the world. Does that mean that just because suffering might be in their future, that you shouldn't have children. And I actually want to point out one more thing, that this is actually an argument that some of pro-abortion people will use when it comes to aborting children with disabilities, that because there is suffering in their future, we need to eliminate them. The death sentence is better for them than facing any kind of suffering, perceived suffering in this life. We are not God. We do not have the right, like these people, to determine our own futures, to be captains of our own ship. Now, yes, it's important to plan. It's important to save for the future. It's important to make wise decisions. But ultimately, our futures and our security is in Christ. Your children's perceived suffering does not give you the allowance, like I talked about in the first half, to disobey God's word. God has commanded Christian couples to be fruitful and multiply. Another thing I want to mention about the interview I had with Allie is that she made such a wonderful point about the beauty of children in these turbulent times, in this perceived suffering that they might face in this world. And she mentioned that having children is one of the best medicines to the turbulent times that we live in. What could give a parent more joy than raising strong, courageous, godly children to be brave, to be courageous, to stand for truth? That is like the best medicine for our society. And if, like she said, if we are not going to raise these children to be strong, to be brave, to be courageous, to not be afraid of what suffering they might experience, to not be afraid to stand for truth, even if it means losing everything, if we're not going to raise kids like that, who is? Definitely not these people. And so, Christian, what is holding you back from walking in obedience to God? So I just encourage you, Christian couple, to not be afraid of what the future brings, because we know who holds the future. We know who holds our security, and our faith, our hope, our security is in Christ alone. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope it was helpful for you. I hope it was encouraging for you that we don't have to fear what tomorrow brings, and we can have children with confidence, knowing that we are walking in step with obedience to God's word. Until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.